away, but it's only faith that recognizes. Saving faith in Jesus sees that these unexplained happenings of life are in fact the hands, the fingerprints of God in our lives. So it's good to have you here tonight and this week, actually. Last week was a very full week, very productive, very fruitful on my part. So this week I'm resting up and getting renewed as we move toward Holy Week and as we move toward Easter Sunday. So Jenna is going to be sharing a message with us tonight of a miracle in her life and the gift that we have in hope. And then also I'll remind you that tomorrow we have men's Bible study here at 11 a.m., women's Bible study at Judy's house. That'll be at 1 p.m., correct? And then also, happy birthday, Samia. Wonderful having you share your birthday today with not only Arnie, but with your church family as well. Please remember to return the Holden Evening Prayer liturgy pieces before you leave tonight. And may God continue to bless you as you walk through the gift of the season of Lent. We rise as we are able then for our service of light. Marianne, we start with that the opening versicle part there. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power. Resurrect us from the dead. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. The darkness in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song. Love that fills the night with wonder, love that warms the weary soul, love that bursts chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. You who made the heaven splendor, every dancing star of night, make us shine with gentle justice, let us each reflect your light. Mighty God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our world,
way, loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day. The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated. Our psalmody is Psalm 141, and Julie will be leading group one. And then the men here can join me in the echo as we do the response for group two. Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word, a reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Anna was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Anna was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli and she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. I'm nervous, so just starting with that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This has always been one of my favorite Bible verses, but it's one that I've wrestled with, especially during the more challenging seasons of my life. Friends and family members who know me well will tell you that I struggle to relinquish control. I wonder who I get that from. The perfectionist in me creeps into my subconscious, assuring me that if only I can control every aspect of my life, surely I will be able to avoid pain, hurt, and disappointment. I've recently been rereading a book by one of my favorite Christian speakers and authors, Lisa Turkhurst. The theme of the book so perfectly aligns with the miracle story that I want to share this evening of Hannah, a woman who most definitely struggled with God's perfect timing. Lisa wrote this book at a time in her life when her marriage was crumbling and it felt like things were very much out of control. So what do we do when God's timing seems questionable? When his lack of intervention seems hurtful and his promises seem doubtful? Do we cling to God's promises knowing that he is in no way planning to harm us, but wants to give us hope and a future? Or do we let the disappointments, frustrations, and hurts grow from mere cracks into a giant ravine that takes us farther from those promises? Over the last 2 years, I've been reminded that my timing isn't necessarily God's timing, and my plans aren't God's plans. My dad and I have been having a lot of deep and difficult conversations, as you can imagine. The thought of losing your father when you're a daddy's girl is devastating. I feel lucky that his cancer diagnosis has helped me to put things into perspective and has clarified how and who I want to spend my time with. For being a nasty and destructive disease, the one positive of having cancer is that it forces you to think about the bigger picture and what's really important in life. I was having a conversation with my dad the other day, and we were talking about miracle stories from the Bible and how miracles don't always come in the packages that we would expect. My sweet nephew Micah told his mom not too long ago that sometimes it's hard to believe in God since Baba's sick. I mean, if God loved us, he would heal Baba, right? It's a pretty mature thought for an 8-year-old, given that these are the same things that I wrestle with as an adult. I really don't know how someone is able to walk through their cancer journey with such faith and grace as my dad, while providing so much comfort and peace to others. As we discuss Micah's comments and miracles in the Bible, I shared my hurt and disappointment that God's timing was different than my timing for my dad's life. Even though the miracle I've prayed for over the last 2 years, that my dad would be healed from his cancer, didn't come in the package that I expected, my dad reminded me that only 5% of pancreatic cancer patients with his diagnosis live for 2 years after being diagnosed. I gave the illustration that you can see behind me to my girls to help them understand what a walking, breathing miracle it is that we still have my dad almost 2 years later. Imagine that each of these nickels represents 5 people who were diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. The group on the left is those who are still alive 2 years after diagnosis. That's the group my dad's in. The group on the right is the other 95 people out of 100, unfortunately. Although my dad's miracle didn't look the way I had imagined when he was first diagnosed, the fact that he is still here tonight is a miracle in itself. When we go through these difficult seasons of life, it can be hard to understand how God is fulfilling his promise to give hope of a future. So tonight I wanted to talk about another miracle that has happened in my life and God's promise to give us eternal future that is so much bigger and so much brighter than anything we could even begin to imagine. In 1 Samuel, it said that Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." So let's talk about Hannah and her ability to not lose hope despite years of prayers going unanswered. Hannah was the second wife of Elkanah, who suffered in silence as she prayed year after year for a child. In those times, a large family was believed to be a blessing from God, and not being able to produce a child brought shame. To make matters worse, Elkanah had another wife who had many offspring and mocked Hannah for her infertility. Even though Hannah wasn't able to give Elkanah a child, he loved her deeply. I'm sure over the years, Hannah wondered why God wasn't answering her prayers, but she never lost faith, and she continued to pray that God would give her a child. The scripture said, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. For all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." In her prayers, Hannah promised God that if she would be blessed with a son, she would return him to the Lord for his service. I know there have been many times in my life that I've similarly bartered with God. Who hasn't? Asking his favor for my wishes to be fulfilled. It's hard to trust the Lord's plan when it isn't drawn out like a crystal clear map, with easy to follow directions from point A to point B, and it often feels like if only we could have control of things instead of placing our trust in God, everything would just be easier. Although my story isn't identical to the struggles of Hannah, I can understand her pain and heartache when God's timing and plans seem the opposite of what our hearts desire. I remember when Matt and I decided to start our family. I had several friends who were teachers and were pregnant and had described to me how nice it was when you could plan your due date so that you could maximize your maternity leave. For example, if you have a baby in March or April like I did, you take a few months off for maternity leave, roll right into spring break, summer break, and then you don't have to go back to work until your child's about 6 months old. It's a pretty nice way to plan it. So being the control freak that I am, I immediately sat down and decided exactly which month we would get pregnant. And to my amazement, we were blessed to be pregnant with Nora much more quickly than I could have imagined. I still remember the shock and possibly a little bit of horror on my mom's face when we told her the good news, as Matt was in his master's program with her and she knew how challenging the timing of things would be for us. But this was all part of my plan. How dare she question it? I made the plan, so how could it be wrong? Our pregnancy went smoothly, we had a normal birth, and our beautiful Nora made me a mom. We never decided on an official number of kids we wanted to have, but we knew we wanted a sibling for Nora. 2 years apart seemed like a good amount of time, so they would be close in age, but Nora would also be independent enough to make things manageable. So once again, I sat down with my calendar and decided when I would have a baby. Do you notice how I keep saying, I decided? I didn't ask God to give me a baby like Hannah did. I didn't make promises that I would return my child to the Lord for his service. I simply decided that surely my plan was better than what God had laid out, so I better get cracking. Once again, getting pregnant was easy, and we had a fairly uncomplicated birth. So in my mind, my plans were all working out just as they were supposed to. I had certainly heard stories of miscarriages or difficulty getting pregnant, but that wasn't my story. I was young, healthy, and this was my plan after all. When Scarlett turned 2, we decided that our family wasn't complete, and again, I started planning. I remember taking dozens of pregnancy tests in the first few months and thinking, these tests can't possibly be right. I must be pregnant. I planned it out, just like the first 2, so it has to happen, just like I planned. We drove out to Washington in the summer of 2015 for Matt's brother's wedding, and I even made a point to not drink a single drop of alcohol at my sister-in-law's bachelorette party, because even though the tests clearly stated not pregnant, I knew better. I must be. How could things not go according to my plan? On our way home from the trip, I did indeed find out that I was pregnant. But because it had taken longer to get pregnant this time, our baby would be born in May or June. Not ideal with my perfect maternity schedule already laid out, but we could make it work. I remember going in for the 12-week ultrasound to hear the heartbeat and praying quietly in my mind for twins. Praying for just one healthy baby never even entered my mind, because of course there was a healthy baby in there. We have a God who promises to prosper us, not harm us, give us hope and a future. When the ultrasound tech said that she couldn't find a heartbeat because the baby was measuring 8 weeks instead of 12, I knew something was wrong. She asked if the dates could be off and assured me that everything was probably fine. I had just gotten the date of conception wrong. I kept giving Matt sideways glances, knowing that this was scheduled, this was planned, and there was no way that I could be wrong. Just to be sure, they decided to do a more in-depth ultrasound, and in the conversation that followed, we learned that we had lost our baby. It's an interesting phrase, lost your baby, because we hadn't lost him or her. They were still right there in my womb. I left that appointment still in disbelief, everything feeling like a bad dream. It's difficult facing a loss like this when you're a mom to 2 young children. I wanted to be strong for them, but my life was falling apart. In my mind, no one understood what I was going through. Certainly not God, because a loving God would not have done this to me. I didn't think about other people who struggled to conceive or who lost children during pregnancy or even after they were born. My heart just hurt all the time, and I couldn't reconcile in my mind how a God that was supposed to give me hope and a future could allow this to happen. Psalm 62, 5 and 6 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. I've been going to church all my life, and I considered myself to be a person of strong faith up until this point. Why couldn't I just lean in and trust God's timing and God's plan? Spoiler alert, God's timing and God's plan was so much more perfect than anything I could have ever imagined. I was in the car driving back from the cities with my dad a few weeks after the miscarriage, and we started talking about my anger towards God and my confusion about why bad things happen and God allows it. My dad talked about Hannah in that conversation and shared an amazing book called Hannah's Hope that he had recommended to another couple who he was meeting with regarding their struggles to have a child. I still remember this distinct feeling that my load was somehow being lightened and I could breathe again as I listened to my dad talk about a loving God whose plans might not align with ours, but whose timing is always perfect, even when we can't see or understand it. At one point during the drive, I looked out to see a beautiful double rainbow in the sky, and it felt like God was reminding me that even on the darkest days, He is still there providing light in the darkness. He wanted me to understand that the hope He provides is for an eternal future with Him in heaven. It's so much more than the earthly plans that I've made for myself. The months that followed my miscarriage were challenging, but God brought healing into my heart and my marriage. In December of 2015, we found out that we were pregnant again, this time with our sweet little Hope, who I couldn't imagine not having in my life. Immediately, I thought about how a December pregnancy meant a September birth. This is a teacher's worst nightmare. Having a sub start the year for me, I couldn't even imagine it. I should have been more grateful for this pregnancy, but I had to stay detached from the pregnancy because I wanted to avoid ever having that type of hurt again. As the months of pregnancy rolled on, we discovered that I had a two-vessel umbilical cord, which can come with many complications and cause the baby to not get enough nutrients and be born small. Yet another thing to worry about. Spoiler alert, she was not small. She weighed in at 9 pounds and 2 ounces. Now, I wish I could say that I had turned over a new leaf completely and had decided to let Jesus take the wheel, but unlike Hannah, there were definitely times when I doubted His plan throughout the pregnancy. Yet despite my doubts, God continued to show me signs, like that double rainbow, that He was there walking each step of the journey with me and that I could trust His plan. When we went to the hospital to deliver, I wasn't set on a baby name, but I had narrowed it down to Hazel or Hope. I liked both names, but I was definitely leaning towards Hazel. We had the most wonderful nursing staff during our delivery, and the nurse who ended up assisting in the birth just happened to be named Hannah. When she asked what we wanted to name our baby, I couldn't help but think this was another sign from God that the person helping bring our baby into the world shared the name of such a faithful woman from the Bible. Someone who never lost faith in God's plan, God's timing, and God's promises of eternal life and hope for a perfect future with Him. Part of why I love the story of Hannah is because despite her circumstances, she never lost hope. Even when God didn't answer Hannah's prayers immediately, and even though she had to watch another woman have multiple children, she never stopped praying and never lost faith or doubted God's abilities to help her. So in the seasons where my wishes, my plans, my desires and my hopes don't seem to be fulfilled, I hope that I can be more like Hannah and remember that God knows the perfect plan for my life. It may not always be easy to understand or come in my timing, but it is certainly a future filled with a promise of hope and eternal life with Him.
I invite the congregation to rise as they are able, as we sing together, Come Thou Fount.
Sing. thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, all for songs of loudest praise, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Is my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
In our liturgy, we continue on page 9 with the acclamation. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
From God to a town called Nazareth, to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. Shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High. And Mary said, I am the servant of the Lord, I live to do God's will. Soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here, and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart. You fill the hungry with wondrous things, and lift the wealthy apart. Great and mighty are you, O faithful one. Strong is your justice, strong your love, as you promised to Sarah. Spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here, and blessed me all my life through.
Jesus, Son of God, glory be.
You may be seated for our litany and closing prayers. We continue with our litany. In peace, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final blessing. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.